Amen. Wonderful. Thank you for worshiping with us today, singing and praying and taking this communion together. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 19, Luke 19 is where we'll be today. And we are continuing to talk about the kingdom of God, the kingship of Christ, as this has been the theme in the Gospel of Luke the past several chapters. And today we want to talk about the kingdom of Christ, or the kingship of Christ, working powerfully. So the title today is the kingship of Christ at work, and I don't mean by that you're taking the kingship of Christ to your work, although I hope you'll do that. That's just not the theme for the day. It is the kingship of Christ at work, Christ the King at work in the human heart. And we're going to see that very powerfully today as we read this passage. So if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, Luke 19, first 10 verses. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. And so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is God's word. You may be seated. So let me go ahead and give you the main point today. The kingdom of God has come in Christ. And the kingdom of God is the kingship of Jesus. Let that phrase sort of rest in your mind. It'll help you understand the kingdom of God. It is the kingship of Jesus, meaning the rule and the reign and the lordship and the authority of Jesus. King Jesus reaches us. King Jesus reaches to us. King Jesus reaches into us. His kingship changes us, because it reconciles us to God and sets us on a path to transformation, life change. This is the mission of Jesus. All that I just said, I'm going to say over and over, so if you didn't get it, you'll get it. I'm going to repeat it. Now, this broad stroke, main point from this passage, with it comes callings. You can't just make a statement like that and it not affect you personally. So with this big theme of the kingship of Jesus coming to us, also comes with it callings. What we are called to do and how we are called to respond in our lives. So that's where we're going, but I'm curious. As I read the passage, did anyone have a particular children's song running through your mind? Now, if you are new to church and you're thinking, what is he talking about? There is a song that children learn in church often, and it is about Zacchaeus. I'm not going to sing it. However, I'm going to quote the song. For me, it should be quoted with a child's British accent, because Zacchaeus is referred to as the wee little man. I just have a little British child. I don't know. I don't know what that's about. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. Please, don't start. Don't, you want to join me? Don't. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house to stay. Yes, I'm going to your house to stay." Okay, that's the song. Now, that's the way I learned it. I didn't learn a verse 2. Does anyone know a verse 2? There isn't a verse 2. That's the problem. Because that's only half the story. In fact, it's not the story. So here's the story. Now, you can teach the song to children, okay? I'm not banning the song from Grace Community Church. It's just not the story. Here is the story without the rhyme and the meter. Here's the story. Zacchaeus was a most complete, self-centered, self-dependent sinner. And he was sought out by Jesus and laid claim to by the King Jesus. And he received King Jesus with joy, and he was saved. That's the story. Zacchaeus is the demonstration of King Jesus at work. Now, that's adult stuff. See, it's a children's song, and so when you hear the story of Zacchaeus, you're expecting a children's sermon. No, this is adult stuff. Zacchaeus' story relates to sin, to self. We don't see it necessarily or specific in the story, but sins like pride, anger, addiction, abuse, immorality, self-centered pursuits, avoiding God through irreligion or self-righteous religion. See, that's really what's in the heart of Zacchaeus. That's what the story's about. But it's also related to grace. It's a story of forgiveness, a story of reconciliation. It's a story of freedom, of humility, of faith, of love. This is really the story. Maybe somebody in this congregation could write a second verse and make it sound good, and then we'd teach it. And we've been talking about, at Grace, the kingdom of God from Luke 17 and 18 and now into Luke 19. And we're going to continue to do so in the next week because the kingdom of God language continues on. So today, I'm staying with the language of the kingdom of God, though that phrase is not actually in the passage that I read. And each week, as we've talked about the kingdom of God, I have reviewed and restated what Jesus has to say about the kingdom of God. So this week, I'm not going to do a long review. I just want to give you one sentence that will help you understand the kingdom of God so that you can hold on to the one sentence and it will help you understand what's going on with Zacchaeus. Here it is. The kingdom of God on earth is the kingship of Jesus over his people. It's pretty simple. The kingdom of God on earth is the kingship of Jesus over his people. There's so many things we could say about that, so many things we already have said about that. But today, just that one sentence. I'll say it again. The kingdom of God on earth is the kingship of Jesus over his people. So where his people are living under his lordship, under his kingship, we see evidence of the kingdom of God. And we see that in the story of Zacchaeus. So I want to take it in three parts. The kingdom reach, and then kingdom transformation, and then kingdom mission. So the kingdom reach. Another very simple statement. The kingdom of God has come to us. And that's simple, but the implications are massive. Massive. We're talking about, this is the season where we are preparing for Christmas. It's Advent. It means to come. Advent means to come. The kingdom of God has come, we say. But we stop there and we don't think about the implications of that. And there are massive implications. And we're going to try to unpack some of that today. Verses 1 and 2. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. I always feel a need to explain why that's significant, because Jerusalem is the place of his death. So he is resolute. He's set his mind toward the place of the cross. He's on his way to Jerusalem. That's where it's going to happen. He's going through Jericho. And doing so, Jesus met a man named Zacchaeus. Now, this is not a parable. A few weeks ago, chapter 18, just one chapter earlier, we read a parable. A story that was not literally true to illustrate a truth. It was about a Pharisee and a tax collector. This one is not a parable. This is a real man who is a real tax collector, and he's really rich. His name is Zacchaeus. That's important that we see that he's a tax collector and that he's rich, because in the Gospel of Luke, if you'll look, and if you've been paying attention, you've probably already noticed that in the Gospel of Luke, rich people are presented as self-sufficient. Now, I'm not saying that all rich people are self-sufficient. I'm saying that in Luke, if you read and you look closely, that term rich, the rich, or rich people, a rich man, they're presented in the light of self-sufficient, self-dependent, having a very difficult time humbling themselves, a difficult time trusting in God, a difficult time receiving the kingship of God in their lives, because they're trusting in their money. It's not to say that every rich person has done that on the face of the earth throughout all of history. It is to say that with riches comes the temptation to trust in them. That's what Luke has been saying. And we saw it just 2 weeks ago, back in Luke 18, the rich ruler loved his money, would not receive the kingship of Jesus over his life because he didn't want Jesus interfering with his money, walked away. So Zacchaeus, we're told, is a rich man. We're also told that he's a tax collector. Now, that's a very significant designation because always in Luke, just like the rich are presented as self-sufficient and self-dependent, always in Luke, tax collectors are presented as sinners. They're always put in the category of the immoral. They cheat people. They defraud people of their money. Were there some honest tax collectors? Maybe so, but the point is being made that in the days of Jesus, the tax collectors were put in the category of the immoral, sinners, the extorters, the unjust, the adulterers, Luke 18:11. Zacchaeus is both. He's rich and he's a tax collector. That's why I say Zacchaeus is our most complete, self-dependent, rich, sinner, tax collector. He's the most complete one that we've seen in Luke so far. Verses 3 and 4 give us a few details. They're interesting, and this is where we get the children's story, or the children's song. He was seeking to see Jesus, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead, he climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus as he passed by. So he's small and he climbs up in the tree. But here's the real detail that you need. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. So here you've got our most complete sinner, self-righteous, self-dependent, self-centered sinner in Luke. You've got him seeking to see Jesus and find out who Jesus is. Now, what does that mean for us? You say, well, it simply means, and it would be correct to say, it simply means that the reputation of Jesus had spread because as Jesus was entering Jericho, we saw last week he healed a blind man. And so his reputation is there, and everybody wants to see him, and Zacchaeus is just one of the people, and he wants to go find out who this man is who heals people. But why? The question is, why do you have... Think of it, okay? Why do you have a self-dependent businessman in a tree? He's up a tree. Why? Why does he want to see a rabbi? Here's the answer. Zacchaeus was being sought. He was seeking. But he was also being sought. Something wasn't working for him. Now, he didn't lose his money. You can say, well, it wasn't working because maybe Zacchaeus lost his money. The text is not there. He did not lose his money. He is still a rich man. It tells us he's a rich man. But he's starting to see. You remember last week, the blind man, Jesus healing him physically, but also opening his spiritual eyes to see. Zacchaeus is starting to see something. He's starting to perceive. He's starting to perceive that his money isn't the answer. And his money isn't ultimate. You see, something drives a man up a tree. There is an internal anxiety. There is an emptiness. what drives a man who has everything up a tree? His conscience is pricked somehow. He has a sense of being out of alignment with God. He has a sense that his money is not going to do it. We could come out of Zacchaeus for a moment. We could say we understand this. We understand that internal angst. We understand what when all the things we've trusted in start to fail. Power, beauty, a mate, academic pursuit, sensual pleasures, food, sex, a secure world, you know, place to live, job, family, 401k, boom, everything's tight and needy. And we say, well, it's not working. And it's not, there's a sense, there's a hard press on the soul. It's telling us that with all this, it's just something is out of line with God. What is that? I remember that in my life. I remember it. I remember it still. It still happens every now and then when I start to place too much of my trust in things. But I remember the first time it happened. The hard press, the bearing down on my soul. What is that? Well, according to the Bible, that's the work of God. God does that. Say, really? Really, does God make people miserable? Yeah. Yeah. Not because he enjoys the misery, but because he takes us through that process of disillusionment, that angst, he takes us there purposefully. It's his work. That's God seeking us, not because he doesn't know where we are. Meaning, seeking us, meaning that is God preparing our hearts for him. And this initial God seeking us, initiating toward us, often feels like the hard press on the soul, a weight. It feels bad. Just be honest. It feels bad. But it's so good. Because it's God. It's his activity. So Zacchaeus is in a tree because something has happened to him. Something is happening to him. Something happening to him by God. God is seeking him out. In fact, Jesus, see, how do you know that? Two ways. One, I know that because of verse 10, which is where we're going to end up today. It tells us this is the very reason that Jesus came, to seek and to save the lost. Verse 5 also, though, because verse 5 tells us there's this concrete evidence that this is happening. Jesus came. Jesus looked up. Jesus said, you see, Jesus is the actor here. And what did Jesus say? Verse 5. He said, I must stay at your house. Now, that might be lost on us if we're just reading along and I don't put the emphasis on the word must. If I just say something like, yeah, I must stay at your house. You say, yeah, you must, but if you don't, it's not a big deal. No, it's not the way it works in the Gospel of Luke, nor the Gospel of Mark. The New Testament writers used what Bible scholars call the divine must. These writers, when they put in the words of Jesus, in the mouth of Jesus, when they put the words, the Son of Man must, it's called the divine must. It happened in chapter 9, verse 22 of Luke. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected, be killed, and rise on the third day. You see? The divine must speaks to the plan of God. This is something that has to happen because it's the plan of God that must be fulfilled. God's kingdom plan, the plan of King Jesus, is to seek out, to reach Zacchaeus. And that is what is happening in this passage. It's the kingdom reach. It reaches to us. Again, this is the season of Advent. Christ came into the world. The reach of the kingship of Jesus is all the way into our world, but it's into us as well. The reach of the kingdom of God is into our consciousness. our awareness that there's something more than in Zacchaeus' place case, more than his money. And in whatever your case, whatever it is in your case, whatever it is that you're trusting in, there's an awareness where God comes to the conscience, or he comes to our a sense of consciousness, I should say that way, our awareness to press in that there really is a God and that his way is true and right. And then when he makes us conscious of him, he presses into our conscience, meaning he convicts us and he convinces us. This is the internal work of God. It's the work of grace. It feels like different things for different people. As we said, sometimes it feels like a hard press on the soul, like a disillusionment, like a disappointment, like an anxiety. Sometimes it's the aha, oh yeah, I see it now. But it is the work of God internally, the kingdom reach to us into the world, but into us, making us aware and convicting us and convincing us, all this to prepare. We see it here. We see it in the passage so clearly because it's Jesus who went to Jericho. It's Jesus who stopped by the tree. It's Jesus who said, I must come to your house today. In other words, this is the fulfillment of the plan of God for me to seek you out. Isn't that wonderful? And then he reached into the heart of Zacchaeus. How do we know? Verse 6. We know because verse 6 says he received him joyfully. He received him like a child. All this, in many ways, the story of Zacchaeus, in so many ways, gives us a visual picture of everything that Jesus has been talking about since chapter 17. And here's another way. One of the things Jesus said is, if you're going to receive the kingdom of God, you have to receive the kingdom of God like a child, meaning with humility, with helpless humility. And look what Zacchaeus does. He receives him joyfully into his house like a child. This is what I like about Zacchaeus. There's no concern for preserving appearances in the presence of Jesus. He is a rich man in a tree. That, I think even in the first century, that might be a little weird. Even in the first century, that might be a little weird. A rich man in a tree. And then shimmying down. And then excitedly taking him to his house and receiving Jesus into his home with great joy. He's like a child. There's no sense of trying to preserve his dignity. It's the kingdom reception. It's receiving King Jesus. It's receiving the kingdom of God. And it is the fruit of God seeking him out and working in his life. Verse 7 tells us that everybody starts to grumble. Always grumbling in Luke. Everybody starts to grumble because they say, look, he's going in to eat in the house of a sinner. And they're exactly right. There's no reason to try to correct them, at least in their factual statement. Their factual statement is exactly right. Their attitude's wrong. They ought to be busting down the door asking if they can come in and eat with the sinner too because they're a sinner. But instead, they have an attitude, but they're exactly right. And what we see here is the kingdom reach. And thank the Lord, and I just say this to you, that the kingdom of God, the kingship of Jesus, reaches all the way to you. It reaches all the way to you. Now, you can be a person who thinks you don't need to be reached. You can be a grumbler. You can say, all this talk of Jesus coming into the world and, you know, all this talk of Jesus working in people's hearts and working in their conscience to stir them. You can say that. You can kind of stand on the outside. You can sort of grumble. Or you can just jump right on in and say, oh, thank you, because you're reaching even to me and I need to be reached. And the beauty is that Zacchaeus' account shows us the kingdom reach is all the way to us, wherever we are, whatever's happening, whatever we've done, wherever we've been, whoever we think we are, whoever we know we are, the kingdom reach is there. And we see the kingdom transformation. Because when the kingship of Jesus is received by us, it brings us salvation, and it begins to go to work on us. Look at verses 8 and 9. We're going to see two things happening here. Zacchaeus stood and he said, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. So when Zacchaeus receives the kingship of Jesus into his life. He is saved. Today, salvation, Jesus said in verse 9, today, salvation has come to this house. He is saved. Jesus refers to him as a child of Abraham. We could probably spend a lot more time on that. I'm just going to give you like a sentence on this. Later in the book of Galatians, we read that in chapter 3, we read that the true children of Abraham are those who are not just the descendants of Abraham's bloodline, but those who are of the same faith of Abraham. We see evidence of faith here in Zacchaeus. And that's why Jesus calls him a son. He too is a son of Abraham. He is a man. He has become a man of faith. And he is saved. But the other thing, so that's verse 9, but back up to verse 8. The other thing that's happening here, he's saved, but he starts to change. This is transformation. He says, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone, I'll pay it back fourfold. That's a very significant statement for a tax collector because, as we said, Luke always presents the tax collectors as cheats, as people who defraud their own people to take more money from them than they need to, give part of it to the Roman government for whom they're collecting taxes, and keep the rest for their own pocket. And we have Zacchaeus saying, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone, I'm going to pay it back fourfold. Now, a great New Testament scholar, Robert Stein, says that given the context here, the best way to understand these verbs, I give or I pay back, not trying to give you a grammar lesson here, but just a quick phrase, they are futuristic present verbs. Here's what it means. Zacchaeus is saying, now I will give. Now I will pay back. He's not saying, up to this point, I've given to the poor. Up to this point, I've repaid, so you ought to receive me into your kingdom. That's what the rich young ruler said in Luke 18. It's not what Zacchaeus is saying. Zacchaeus is saying, now that I have received the kingship of Jesus, now that I have been saved by King Jesus, now the transformation is I will give and I will repay. I go from greedy to generous because of the power of Christ working in me to transform me. That's what he is saying. See, something happened between verse 6, received him into his home, and verse 8, I'm ready to give. What happened? A sinner repented, and he believed, and he received the kingship of Jesus into his life, and he was saved, and he started down the road of transformation. Back in Luke 18, when Jesus said that it's very difficult for rich people to enter the kingdom of God, everybody said, then who can be saved? Well, here's the answer. Yes, a rich man can be saved. Yes, a sinful tax collector can be saved. Yes, anybody can be saved. Any man or any woman can be saved who repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and receives the kingship of Jesus. You see, and the power of that, the power of real, genuine conversion, the power of the kingship of Jesus in the human heart is so transformative that you can take the most complete sinner in all of Luke, the rich tax collector, and Jesus turns him into a generous giver. That's the power. It wasn't the last change for Zacchaeus. My guess is he struggled with greed the rest of his life. My guess is the rest of his life he was tempted standing at that tax booth and he was saying, you owe. Oh, and he just had that temptation. Oh, okay, do I say how much you owe? Or do I say how much you owe plus a little bit more for me because, you know, tuition's coming up? Is that what he said? My guess is it was the beginning of a transformation that took place the rest of his life. Practically, how does it work? When we receive the kingship of Jesus, we repent and believe, salvation comes to us today. We are saved. And then the initial transformation is seen. It begins, but it's not the last one. So if you're here today and you say, Scott, you're talking about transformation, I'm struggling with the same sins, does that mean I don't really receive the King Jesus? Not necessarily. It means you're on the road. Stay in hope. Stay in faith, stay in prayer, stay humble, stay broken, stay repentant. Don't ever think you've achieved or arrived. Don't ever think you're out of the need or out of the reach of God's grace. Stay at it. He's faithful, he's true, his grace is sufficient every day. He'll get you there. It's a whole lifetime of repentance and faith and conforming to the kingdom of God under the kingship of Jesus. It's a whole lifetime of decisions to put off what is not consistent with the kingdom of God and to take on with what is consistent with the kingship of Jesus. It's a whole lifetime of that. It's kingdom transformation. And then, kingdom mission. I'll close with this. King Jesus is on a mission to seek and save the lost. Verse 10. Verse 10 is the key verse of the entire Gospel of Luke. It's it. It's verse 10 is the mission statement of Jesus. This is it. This is the whole purpose of Jesus coming, right here in verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's it. It is the theological summary and explanation of what just happened to Zacchaeus. He was sought out by Jesus, by his grace. And he was saved by Jesus, by his grace. And he was set on the road of transformation, by Jesus, by his grace. It's very important for us to keep that in mind. This is the primary mission of Jesus in this world. And we need to remember it. Why? So that we will respond in repentance and faith. Okay. Our response to Jesus, the human response to Jesus, is nothing short of repentance and faith. Exclusively in him. This is it. It is not an adequate response to Jesus if it's not repentance of sin and faith in him alone for salvation. It's not. And it's not even a compliment to him. If it's anything other than Jesus is King, King Jesus, repentance of self-life and total trust and faith in him. That's why it's important to keep the kingdom mission in mind, because our response is repentance and faith. And it's important to keep the kingdom mission in mind because it gives us confidence that he will save. This is why he came. If you're a person and you people talk to me and they say I'm constantly nagged with this sense that I'm not saved, that Christ hasn't saved me. How do I know? And it's faith. It's repentance and faith. And where there is repentance and faith, then you can be assured that Jesus is strong enough to save you. You say, but my sins plague me. My conscience it constantly drives me down. Give that to Christ. Repent of your sin. Trust in Jesus alone. Throw yourself at his mercy and be confident that he came to save you. And trust him. And that his work is ongoing. And if your Christian life has that sense of slow progress, be encouraged. Because he does save you. He will save you all the way to the end. And the mission of Jesus tells us what our mission is as a church. It determines our mission. Our mission is about lost people. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. It's about the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Christ the King has come to seek and to save. It's about calling people to repentance and faith. It's about ongoing transformation and discipleship. That is the kingdom of Christ at work. Father in heaven.